Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, welcome to Rahulastapa number 304 with my fantastic guest Kyle Smith-Bino from Ghosts, Stafflets, Fats and everything. He is a lovely guy and very funny. I think you'll enjoy this. Look, there's loads of other stuff going on. Taskmaster is coming to a denouement on Thursday nights. I'm on the Russell Howard show some point in December. I'm on the Chase on Boxing Day. Do look out for that. And I'm on TV all the time. Just done Tipping Point. It's just gone on last Sunday, so you can check that on the ITV player. Tipping Point with Ben Fefford. I'm also doing... Ali and Herring's Twitch of Funds most Thursdays on twitch.tv/RK Herring. That goes up on YouTube. It goes out as a podcast. Why not check it out? I'm back doing snooker and there's a new tournament. Usually Monday nights, sometimes Tuesday nights on Twitch. Rahulastapa is recording on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. generally speaking. But do just look at my Twitter. It's Herring1967. And... you will be able to see what I'm up to. Do come there, follow, and you get notifications every time I go live. Subscribe, and we get some money. If with Amazon Prime, you can link your accounts and give us £5 every month at no cost to yourself. So we get £3.50 of it. Whatever your local currency is, it's five of those. You just have to remember to come back and resubscribe. And we're putting all that money back into making more content. If you go and check my YouTube channel, Herring1967, you can not only watch Twitch of Fun, all 21 episodes so far, you can see a sketch of Peter Dibdin, the driving instructor, 27 years on, now the correct age. That was a lot of fun, and I'll be doing more stuff like that, and that's how we'll be spending your money. Once we're out of our houses, we'll go and film in proper locations as well, so it's going to be lots of fun. So do support us. You can become a monthly badger. GoFasterStripe.com/badges as well. Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy Rahulastapa with Kyle Smith Bino. It's lots of fun, my fan friends. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome me. It's Richard Herring. Hello, welcome to another episode of Richard Herring's Lingering Stinky Trump podcast. Works on two levels. Though I was hanging around with the greatest radio show of all time, the cast of that. They're here behind me right now if you're watching the video. Just voted for. I'm sorry I haven't a clue, or as they call it, Issy Hack. Many of them are dead, but even so, they're very, very cool. They call it Rahulastapa, so I don't know if that's going to catch on. On the Owl came fourth in that. I co-wrote the fourth greatest radio show of all time. There they all are. Barry and Graham still with us. Thank God. Long may they stay. So what's going on? It's as we record, it's International Men's Day Eve. It's the most exciting day for men of all time. We're all waiting. Will he come and give us a manly present? I have my book out, of course, this year. If you want to find out when International Men's Day is, if you've missed it, it was the 19th of November. Also on International Men's Day, I'm going to try and get men to celebrate International Men's Day rather than complain about International Men's Day on International Women's Day. This is still my attempt and still my goal. So what I did or am doing, depending on when you're listening to this and watching this, is I'm going to get people to post a picture of a man they admire and why they admire him on International Men's Day. If you've missed it in 2020, come back in 2021. Mine is going to be Sir Michael Palin. Of course, he's my my new dad. He took on the role. Fantastic men. We should show men all the good men we should aspire to be. He's a globe-trotting, wonderful man. I might put a picture of my actual dad up as well. He's all right too, I suppose. What else has been going on? Last night, my daughter, trying to avoid bed, came downstairs. She started to write now. It's charming. And she wrote my wife a little letter to try and avoid, saying, I love you, mummy. I love you more than infinity, or onefinity, she calls it. And I said, where's my letter? Do you love me more than onefinity? And she said, she doesn't really usually give me much, affection and stuff. She plays it cool. She likes doing jokes with me. Then she came back a few minutes later with a letter saying, Daddy, you are funny and silly, which, to be honest, is 100%. That's all I ever wanted from her, so I'm very happy with that. We've got news in. The Crown is out. It's covering the years that we have talked about on this podcast before about Michael Fagan. He's now 70 years old. He's the guy who crept into the Queen's bedroom back in 1982. He's angry that the Crown have made him too ugly with no charisma. And apparently he did have a lot of charisma and does have a lot of charisma. I haven't watched The Crown, but I've heard that it doesn't answer the important question that I've always had. What I heard when I was a kid at school is that he wanked into the Queen's ear, and I was looking forward to seeing that covered by The Crown, and I'm disappointed they've dodged that bullet and the mystery still remains. I have talked to some people who know, have met Michael Fagan through Ken Campbell, funnily enough, who said he didn't mention that himself. But that the mystery still is allegedly, not saying he did it, it's alleged. What else is going on? I have, Taskmaster, we're only halfway through Taskmaster. There's me winning last week's episode as Pinhead. I don't even know, I've never even watched the whatever it's called, Hellraiser. So, and I made up the fact that my wife likes wearing that. That's a shocking final image for the show. Currently 6 points behind Daisy, but I've decided I've won Taskmaster. That's what you can do these days. I've won. I'm 6 points behind, but the is fixed. And just let's call the rest of it off because I've won. I'm sure I've done that joke before, but you know, it's always nice to hear it again. The vaccines are out as well for COVID, which is good news. I'm going to take all the vaccines all at once because I love vaccines so much. I'm going to take so many vaccines that I actually get the disease. That's my plan. They're only 90% and 95% effective. So you have to take two and then you're 185% covered. And that's pretty good because you kill it twice. I want to kill it twice and then stamp on it. And then I'll be sure I'm not going to get it. What else? Have I got one more thing in there? Oh, yeah, there it is. It's there. It's I've bought 10 packets of Scotch porridge oats old fashioned. I'm ready for Brexit. Brexit's coming, guys. Stock up. Porridge is great. A, it's old fashioned, which you'll have to be once Brexit comes. B, you can just eat it with ditch water, which is all that's going to be available. C, if you run out of toilet paper, you can just, it's very absorbent. You can just wipe that in there in all your crevices. Just run it under the tap. If you run it under the hot tap, dinner's ready straight away. That is my plan to you. Please do buy The Problem with Men. It's see-through. It's very good fun. Lots of nice comments so far. It's out in audiobook, which I think is the preferable format. There's lots of extras in that. You can get it from Go Faster Stripe, and you can get a signed thing, picture with a willy on it. That's one of the rejected ones I didn't do very well with, if you're watching the video. Right, let's crack on. My guest today is probably best known. He's only just arrived. It's been very tight. It's very exciting. He's probably best known for his appearance as the handyman in Noel Edmonds' trailblazing game show, Cheap, Cheap, Cheap. Oh. Will you please welcome Kyle Smith Bono, ladies and gentlemen. Bono, ladies and gentlemen. I knew I'd get something fucking wrong. There you go. Hello. How you doing? I was so fucking concentrating on the Kyle. I got Bino
wrong.
What can I say?
It's better than some cab drivers that I've had before who have looked at my name and gone, Smith? So well done for trying. And thank you for trying.
Well done for trying. I mean, that's the least you can do, really, as a podcast guest, is get the name of the guest right.
Or you could just call me something completely different.
Yeah, I could have tried that, and that would have been... I apologize. But, you know, you turned up like 25 minutes late.
Exactly. So that's what you get.
That's what you get. That's the kind of respect you get from me. Tell me about, I hadn't noticed this and someone tweeted it and you nearly got away with this. Tell me about Cheap, 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 your appearance on Cheap, Cheap, Cheap. Yes, I want to know all about it. I'm obsessed with Noel Edmonds. Okay. I want to know what he's like in real life. I want to know how you enjoyed working with him.
What I will say... I will start with this.
Yeah.
Hat Trick are a great production company.
Yeah, that's true.
And I really like all of the people that were involved in the show. Good. I thought the show was a piece of shit. And I will say that it was one of the worst experiences in my professional career.
Really?
However,
I'm glad to bring it up straight away.
However, it this character building. I got a virus out of it. I didn't get coronavirus because that didn't exist yet. But I got the norovirus.
Wow. Fuck, that's bad.
So I've collected that one already.
Yeah.
And we had that, and that was because of the show.
Right. How did you, is that from Edmonds? Is that Edmonds spitting up on you?
Yes. yes, that was something in his hairspray that went straight into the back of my throat.
Okay.
It was really tough. I will tell you, do you know what? I haven't actually spoken about this.
That's why I was surprised to find out about it. I've researched you quite carefully and this nearly slipped through.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
First of all, it took maybe about 2 months for me to get the part.
Right.
From when I went in and did the first audition. Up until they were actually like, yeah, we want you to do this. Here's an offer. That took about 2 months. And when I actually got the offer was probably the day before we started filming. Right. Or we started rehearsal. So we'd done like a week of writing. And whilst I was writing for the character, myself and a writer called Ali Griggs, who is brilliant and mad, whilst we were writing for the character, I didn't know if I was going to be playing the character. Then eventually... they gave me the part, and then we went up to Bristol, and we all knew that it was one of those things that was either going to be incredible and it was going to change television, or it was going to be a real stinker and get left off the CV. And it actually feels like it was too recent for me to talk about it.
Okay. Well, you know, it was, Noel took a big chance with Deal or No Deal, and that kind of paid off, and he was riding high, I guess, on... Because Noel writes things down. He writes down what he wants, doesn't he? So Noel must have written down...
He posts them to the universe.
I want this to be shit and make Kyle feel bad. That must be what he wrote down, because that's what he's got that power to do that. So he, it's like he must...
He apparently wrote a letter to the cosmos, and that's how he got the show. And that's a direct quote from him. And and so he must have included that he wanted to ruin some poor boy's career. Oh,
the cosmos might have just got fed up of all the letters. He sends a letter like that all the time. Yeah, and the cosmos just going, fucking hell.
They haven't even read that one yet.
We've given you a lot of stuff. The cosmos has given him a lot. A long career. Yeah. He's come back a few times. He's come back from things that other people wouldn't have managed to come back from. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And, you know, stop writing to the cosmos. You've got to do it yourself, Noel, now. You're on your own. Get out there.
Stop wishing upon a star. And just get out and do it.
But as an actor, that's always the risk, isn't it? You don't know going into anything whether it's definitely going to work because there's so many other factors.
Yeah, true. Have you seen it?
I saw some clips of it because I knew Alex who was in it, right?
Alex Lowe.
Alex Lowe, yeah. So he was quite a big part in it, wasn't he? So yeah. I did see, I don't remember you being in it, but then it might have been before you sort of properly drifted into my conscious, really,
Because
you've been in you've done lots and lots of things. So before you've the last two or three years, you've sort of hit the ground running, but you've been in things, for the last 8 or 9 years, really, haven't you? I don't think I would have spotted you.
In between my call center career. Yeah.
Right. What was for the people who didn't see it? What was the premise of Cheap, Cheap, Cheap?
The premise of the show was that is going to be the whole thing.
It's going to be the whole thing.
It will take me an hour to explain the premise. The premise is that you have three items. So Noel Edmonds owns a shop, and the contestants come to a shop and they play a game which is called Cheap, Cheap, Cheap. Now the rules of the game are that you get three items and you have to pick which one you think is the cheapest. For example, you might have a mustard, mayonnaise, and a ketchup.
Okay.
And then you have to pick which one's the cheapest. And then if you get it right, you win a certain amount of money. And you go through, I think it was 8 of them, and you can win up to, I think it's £25,000.
It's pretty good.
So, great. That's a great game. Come on, guess some mustard and go home. However, there are four characters within this shop.
Yeah.
There's Barry from Watford. There's my character, who is called Keith. There's Kelly. And then there was Mariana that was played by Gabby Best. And Kelly was played by Emily Losemi, who got norovirus first and then gave it to everyone else. She's a super spreader. And so the characters have to come in and do jokes based on the items.
Okay.
But also lead towards the sort of narrative for the episode.
Yeah.
So you're coming
in. It's a really good idea.
You're doing jokes. And based on the items, because there's three items per question, based on the items, you will have a question that you will have a joke or some sort of funny thing about these items. Yeah. Now, you come on, you do that. Hopefully everyone laughs, and then you go off, and then you get ready for the next items, and you go through like your jokes that you've got written down, and you're like, oh, I've got something for these, I've got something for these. Now, at the moment, that still sounds fine.
Yeah, it's good.
However, every pair of contestants have the 8 items, the 8 sets of 3 items. So you, in your 2 weeks writing, you've gone through all the items. What if we get something like this? You've got something for everything, basically.
Yeah.
And you've got the list in front of you. So if they get that question right, you move on to flannels or you move on to tissues or whatever it is. But if they then get that question wrong, then they're gone. You bring on 2 new contestants with a whole new list of items.
Oh, no.
So there were times where I was literally in a shed on a motorbike, ready to come out with a joke about these vehicles, and then they've lost the game, and I've had to run off and pick up a live swan. And you find
Sounds
out
amazing.
Which is the cheapest bird out of a swan, a turkey, and a pheasant. Now, as well
I
as
love
that,
the show. Well, as, look, as I you, want to.
As you're imagining this,
yeah.
What do you see in the, within the studio? Like, what do you think is going on? Behind the camera, sorry.
Yeah, I think there's an audience there.
Oh, and... Richard, you're wrong. On the first hurdle, there's not a single audience member. There's not one person. This is a true story.
Okay.
There's not one person in the... There's no audience. It is just the camera crew who have heard you doing these jokes in all the way through rehearsals and practicing them all day.
Yeah.
Because you've got to change them so quickly. So the best you'll get is three men go, ha! At your best joke, three men will go, ha!
Yeah.
And that happened every day. let me also say that we filmed three episodes a day.
Yeah.
So we were filming morning, noon, and night. And the audience, I mean, we were like, okay, the contestants are the audience, fine.
Yeah.
But the contestants are there to win money. So these are the three situations that the contestants can be in. They've won money and they want to go home and spend it. They've lost money and they want to go home. Or they're waiting to go and play. None of these people in any of those scenarios are interested in your jokes about the cheapest milk. None of them care, not one of them.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you've got a lot of material about the value of different objects, some of which has not been even broadcast, that you could put into an amazing show about just the pure jokes from that. You could take all the jokes from that show and just put them in a show.
Every cloud?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I'd quite like to... How much money would you need to go back and redo it again, but we'll film it from the other way around? So we'll film the behind the scenes, like noises off or something like that. So like you will just do all the backstage stuff and we get to do your jokes. We get to see how it's working.
Okay, let's...
how much would you need for that?
It depends on how long we're working for.
We're doing it in real time. The whole thing.
Okay, so that was...
And then it's going to be on a box set on Netflix or something.
That was 3 weeks. I'm going to need 67 grand.
Okay, that'd definitely do that. I thought you'd ask for more than that. You could have got
way more
than that.
I had a really nice flat in Bristol at the time.
Okay.
So that was a really nice...
And Bristol's a great city, right?
Yeah. And we had to go there because Noel lives there.
Yeah.
but he did pay for dinner, so...
Did he? Every day or just one time?
The one time that we went out. he paid for dinner a few times, actually, which was
nice. That's
nice. It was also the first time I had oysters when I went to... Okay. We went on a boat. And
first time on a boat or you've been on a boat?
No, I've been on a boat. I've done boats.
Yeah.
But never been on a boat with oysters on it.
No.
So I tried an oyster. At the exact moment that I tried the oyster... Jimmy Mulville, who runs Hattrick, as it entered my mouth, he was like, "It's just a bit like bogey." Cheers, Jim. Thank you, mate.
Could be worse. It's more like spunk, I think.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I wasn't thrilled by that happening at the same time as me trying it for the first time. So that's all I've got in my memory of oysters.
Okay. So he tried oysters, but just Jimmy Mulville wrecked it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he fucking got his chopper right out of there.
Yeah. Fucking Jimmy Mulville, Noel Evans, what a pair of pricks, eh? What a pair of tossers, should we call them that? See how...
I love Jimmy.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
Noel...
I was just trying to get you so you couldn't...
Work for Hattrick again. I couldn't be in episodes of the remake. Noel, however, didn't say my name once.
Right.
When we met, he was like, "What's your name?" "Kyle." "What? Kyle. I'm going to call you K." And he did. He did for a month. Call me K.
K. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. We've got a nickname from lazy Noel Edmonds.
Yeah.
Good. Well, we'll move on from that. There's other humiliating stuff to talk to you about.
Oh, before. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I found loads.
All right.
I found loads of stuff. There's just nothing good. You haven't got a Wikipedia entry, which makes researching you very... What's going on there?
What is going on there? I don't know.
Because you are mentioning loads of Wikipedia entries, but you don't have one of your own. What's going on with that?
What do I do about that?
Well, I don't think you can. I don't think you're officially allowed to set up your own one. I sometimes edit my own one, but I don't. I didn't set it up.
Who's going to do that?
Well, someone should. You're a big star, man. You're on TV. I've got, you know, I've got loads. Who was I reading the other day? Someone had a ridiculously long entry, and I don't think they were even a real person. There was someone fucking ridiculous. Someone ridiculous had, and they just had a longer entry than me. And I thought, this is out of order. Can't remember who it was now.
Can someone do it? Can someone listen?
One of this lot set up a Wikipedia entry. Please. I think everyone's just worried about, you know, spelling. You didn't need a simpler name.
Oh,
that's, right. Why don't you call yourself K Smith? Call yourself K Smith.
K Smith?
K Smith. Take a note after Noel Edmonds was trying to help you out there. He's going, mate, call yourself K.
Yeah, and then you get on Wikipedia.
Then lose K Smith. And then people will be able to find you easily because there's no K Smiths on Wikipedia at all.
Yeah.
It makes it hard to research you because that's usually what I do. I just go to Wikipedia.
And then I get to be elusive.
So then I had to go and actually do some proper reading up about you and listen to podcasts with you and stuff. It was very annoying.
Which one?
I heard a couple of young lads talking to you about your favourite TV shows.
Oh, that was fun.
I discovered you were born 2 months premature in that podcast. That was a surprising piece of information. I don't know if that was true, but that's what you told me.
Yeah, big true. I was going to be born in May.
Wow.
And I was like, nope, sorry, busy.
That's not too bad, is it? Like 7 months is okay.
Yeah.
But any time in an incubator at 7 months or just they looked after you?
They sorted me right out. And as a result, I've just got asthma and quite big feet.
Quite big feet.
Yeah, I don't know if that's anything to
do with it. I don't think that's probably to do with being born early. You never know. That might be part of it.
Maybe.
I also discovered... I'd found out that you you helped move the Olympic torch around on that podcast. That was you had a big Olympic torch story.
Yeah, I just had a go on the Olympic torch.
Yeah, pretty good.
Thanks.
2012. You brought the Olympic torch from France to England.
By myself.
Touched it on the way.
No, I brought it over.
You brought it over. That's hard because that's water, man. If you drop that in the... I knew you'd been on a boat because you were on a boat in that story, so I knew you'd already been in a boat.
I swam, but I did the front crawl, but only with one hand, and I kept the torch up the whole
way. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Wow.
When I got there, people were like, I can't believe that you've done that, but I had...
That's right. There's a different story on their podcast. Go and listen to those guys' podcast. I don't want to steal their good story. I learned that you are doing, this might have been a different podcast. You, in lockdown, you've been doing a sitcom about witches.
Oh, yeah, I did that.
Yeah. Well, you forgot that you've got so many jobs. You've forgotten a job you did like 2 months ago.
You're playing a witch. No, I didn't forget it, but I also didn't get paid for that. So.
Oh, really?
So that's why I don't remember. Okay. That was really fun. That was me and Jamali Maddox.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Being witches. Witches that run a comic book shop.
Yeah.
That was real fun. I don't know when that's out.
Were you like real witches or were you like fantasy witches? So you're guys who believed in their cult and
your spare time. Yeah, I could do spells and stuff.
All right, okay.
But I think I was like the newbie. And I was still getting spells wrong and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a series? Is that just a bit of fun for lockdown?
I think we did it as a short and we're going to pitch it and hopefully...
Great.
Hopefully HBO Max will take it.
Well, probably, you know, look, it's going that way, isn't it? That must be... Let's go back before we go that far. What I like about the internet and you younger acts and... I mean, you're an actor more than an actor, really, but... You're very funny as well, so I'm gonna call you an act because I think you do good comedy and good comedy off your own bat. But you get the juvenilia, and I watched today very popular YouTube hit from Red Hot Entertainment.
Oh yeah, what's that called?
When you were the Chicken Shop Junior Spesh.
Oh,
do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Doing that. It's a popular.
I remember that because no one will ever let me forget it.
You were so cute. How old were you when you did that?
I would have been 17, maybe.
Yeah, God, you look so young. You're almost unrecognisable.
Yeah.
So fresh.
Before Bristol.
Took it out of you.
Yeah, pre-Bristol.
But that was a big hit that you put up, and then a million people watched you singing about rapping about chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken shops.
And then I got free chicken and chips for life. For life. You? Yeah.
Shop? Can you go to any chicken shop and say, I want free chicken and chips?
Yeah, I can go to the first ever Kentucky Fried Chicken. Here's your bucket, sir. No, just there. Whenever we go in, they're like, yeah. Because people travel to that that shop just to buy it or just to, like, take pictures or whatever. So because of that, and because we've got them so much custom worldwide,
it's very much like me and the Tempting Tatty in Edinburgh, which is a baked potato shop in Edinburgh. Mm. And I mentioned it for about 15 years every time they ever asked me, where do I eat in Edinburgh? I'd always say the Tempting Tatty.
Oh.
And eventually the man gave me a free potato. So it's very similar. It's very similar. I know. So you and I are very, very similar in that. It actually stands up, though. It's a good video. It's still enjoyable to watch. It's a little slice of...
It's 180 pixels.
It's good.
I don't know how you even managed to make me out in that video.
It's good. It's a little slice of, you know, the first decade of this millennium. That'll be being played at the end of this millennium.
Mm.
They'll play that in and go, this is what it was like in the first decade.
Aggressively rapping about chicken and chips. So aggressively.
It's funny though, right? It's a funny video. And so is, and then you've done, this is more recently, but the what really made me laugh and was a real comedian's show was the Stormzy's flatmate, Bosky.
Oh, yeah.
Being followed around by his crew everywhere.
Yeah.
That's a very funny sketch.
That was fun.
That's worth everyone checking that one out. That's a lot of fun. So you were at drama school and then you sort of started doing YouTube stuff and it sort of all spiraled out from there.
Yeah.
And that's how you kind of made your way, because you'd done got a bit of TV acting. So you're in Whitechapel, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then sort of nothing much came out of that.
I thought that was my big break.
Yeah.
I thought that was it.
But then you took control of your own career by making videos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I never really had my own channel or anything like that. I just did, I jumped on everyone else's. But I also did a series called Come Down With Matt, which was a Come Down With Me spoof. And that was a lot of fun. I mean, it was real stress. I got some kids that were straight out of, I think they were still in film school. And I was just like, do you want to film this thing? And they're like, yeah. I said, I'll give you £20. And they filmed the series, which was so stressful because it was the first thing that they'd ever filmed. And a lot of the edit was me getting them to edit out the other cameramen. We spent you would not believe how long we spent editing our other cameramen. So I was like, yes, man, and I'm shooting this thing. We've got four cameramen. They're in every shot. So that was quite difficult, but it came out all right and people liked it.
I saw you in a video with One Direction. Was that early on Direction?
Yeah, that was quite early. That was 2013,
right.
With Kayvan Novak, who was just like, I know you're unemployed, come and do this thing. It wasn't like, are you free? Like, right, so Monday, we're going to do... Okay, sure.
And how will One Direction look like they were having fun? And there's a sort of photo shoot where you're trying to photograph a vapor, basically.
Yeah.
They seemed... I mean, they were giggling their way through it, but then they tried to take it seriously as well. Were they
So the idea was that some of them didn't know that it was... I can't remember who, but, like, two of them knew about it and some of them didn't, and then there was, like, a prank thing. But then they, as we were doing it, they found out that it was a prank. So they wanted to do their bits again.
Right.
And so, like, I don't know what ended up in the, what of the real thing ended up in it. But I do remember, what I remember the most from that was that Harry was very nice. Mm-hmm. Harry Styles is a lovely boy. And I also remember that what do I remember? There's another thing.
All the rest of them weren't very nice. It seems to be the take home.
They had managers telling them which tweets to reply to.
Okay.
And I was like, what? And I know that, like, obviously them managed really, like, they've all got, like, two managers each.
Right.
But them coming over to them and being like, right, you've got to reply to this one in this area and reply to this tweet and do it. And I was like, I can't believe they don't reply to their own tweets. I mean, maybe now it's different, but at the time they were, like, the biggest thing. They were the biggest boy band in the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've got to be careful. One loose tweet.
Yeah.
That could be the end of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So you got to watch out. Got to look after those boys.
Yeah, and they did.
The money makers. Until they stop making money, then you can toss them out. Yeah, toss them out.
Yeah.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So it's all led up, though. I mean, my thing that I've really enjoyed you in, and which you are great in, Anna, is Ghosts, which, if people haven't seen this show yet, it's such a brilliant sitcom. We watched the recent series in in less than a day, basically, because it was we were so into it. And what I love is, I think the chemistry between you and your wife, played by Charlotte Ritchie in the show, is like a proper couple, right? And yeah. I don't think I've seen that. It's not like a couple who are like super like over the top in love. It's not a couple who super in that not into each other. It's a couple who have been together, really like each other, and get on with each other. You've really good couple chemistry. I'm not saying it's sexy chemistry. I'm saying it's like you've been together for a few years chemistry, yeah. But you still like each other. But I think it's such that out of everything, and there's loads of great performances in that. That is the thing that I love most about that, is the relationship between the living central couple in the middle of it.
That's good acting, because she's a monster. I don't know if you've heard, but she's a nightmare.
She seems so lovely, and she can sing as well. She's got like an angelic singing voice.
Yeah,
she seems amazing. So my problem, if I was playing that part, I'd be too in love with her, because I wouldn't be able to hide it. So you're either acting brilliant,
because I hate her.
No, okay, well that's fine. Then you're acting the other direction, which is equally impressive.
Exactly.
Did you just automatically have that? Was that sort of?
I think that's how we got the job.
Yeah,
because we did a chemistry test, and I'd never done a chemistry test before in other jobs, because I'd never had a part that required it. But this time, they brought in four different women, and it was a bit like speed dating. And they were like, this one's going to be your wife for 10 minutes, and then she's going to go on someone else's. But yeah, I think it was different for the women. They went through two of us, I think, but they like were in and out. Whereas I came in, and then we had each actress come in for like 20 minutes. And then I was really, when we finished, I was really like, how are they going to choose between the four of them?
Right,
because they were amazing. All of them were great.
Yeah,
and I was like, sorry. And then I was like, oh, does that mean all the guys are going to be that good? I hope not, because I'm going to have to kill somebody. But yeah, like, and then we got it. I think,
but that's what I always think about sitcoms, and having been more on the other side, having cast things, you often get down to two people who you're basically 50-50, you know, the table's 50-50 on, and you just have to more or less make a decision. And if that sitcom goes on like Ghosts to be huge, that's like a life-changing decision. You know, if there was a choice 50-50 between any of the actors there, that's a life-changing decision for both of you. It's crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
But go on.
And I also think, like, I sometimes think about what I would be doing if I wasn't doing Ghosts. Because it takes up quite a big chunk of it. Like, it's a 10-week shoot.
Yeah.
And it's brought about a lot more opportunities. And also, even for my friends that are writing things that would have wanted to cast me anyway, it means that they don't have to, like, fight more to prove that I could do it. Because it's like, oh, it's the guy that's in Ghosts.
Yeah.
And then people are like, yeah, fine. Rather than before, and it was like, oh, my friend, Kay Smith. And they're like, who? No. It's done. I'm very happy to be a part of it. And it's done great things.
But it's. I mean, there's, you know, it's the Horrible History guys all who know each other so well as well. I mean, that could be difficult. I know it's sort of weird because you're, in a way, not working with them, even when you're there with them, you're sort of, no, you don't have to work with any of them really, because you've got to avoid looking at them. I mean, they're so tight and so good, those guys. And the writing is great. What it's, you know, I thought it was like an inoffensive sitcom. You know, I thought this is, no one could be offended by this sitcom, but then some people are offended by a couple of elements of it, right?
Yeah,
some people who you maybe don't care about. The opinions of, but I'm sort of still surprised. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, but I'm surprised in this day and age, you know, that there's been people who are upset that, you know, you're of a different race to your wife.
Yeah.
There's people who are upset that Lolly, who's going to be a guest on this at some point, which she was going to be before lockdown, going to be on one of the live ones. They don't believe a Georgian woman could be black.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... How does it feel to have that? Was that a surprise to you, or were you kind of anticipating this is going to...
No, I didn't anticipate it at all, actually. I never even considered it until I saw comments on the trailer, and I was like, sorry. And I think I mentioned it in an interview that I did, that it is evident that we don't have enough Black history taught in schools for people to be like, but she's Georgian. How could she be of colour?
Because Black people didn't exist until
they weren't invented
50 until... or 60 years ago. So that's my understanding.
I think Martin Luther King was the first one.
Yeah, I think he was.
I also, kind of related, but a little bit unrelated, I also saw a tweet yesterday that said something about how these pictures from the civil rights movement have been made in black and white to make people think that it was so long ago.
Right.
When it was like 60 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, they did do that. And I've been gobsmacked about that ever since.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really weird thing. I mean, it didn't even feel like an issue. It didn't feel like, oh, you know, they've done this to make a point. It feels like very natural within the show.
Yeah, yeah.
That any normal person surely wouldn't notice it. I mean, it's nice that there's some Black people in a mainstream sitcom.
Exactly.
It's the same with Red Dwarf. Red Dwarf doesn't make any deal about the fact that two of the leads are Black guys.
Yeah.
It's not even mentioned. And it's like Schitt's Creek, which I love as well, which is about pansexuals and gay guys.
I haven't seen it.
You know, it's really good, but it doesn't make anything about it. It's not a sitcom about, oh, what we have to do to struggle. And you know, so it's a celebration of just two people being in love or whatever. And this is just a celebration of, you know, this is just life. This is just life. It's not the fact it's not even brought into it. It seems a shame. I mean, it's a shame that I'm even talking about it as well, but it does make me angry and worried that people can. I mean, there's this Christmas supermarket advert that people are upset about as well.
Sainsbury's,
yeah,
people are losing their shit.
which, you know, it's, and like people saying this doesn't represent me, and then not, but not having the intelligence to go, but that means like 99% of adverts don't represent the people in this ad. And you can't even have the empathy to think of that. It's
but they do relate to the
weird
family of cats from Aldi.
Yeah.
And those family of aliens from Argos.
Yeah.
Like that. That's what I want to see. More of me. More like me.
Oh, man. Well, I hope it goes away, that. But, you know, maybe it'll go away with Trump. What do you think?
Get it all out together. I think in 2020 there'll be like a, you know, like the Millennium Bug?
Yeah.
There'll be that, but for racism.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe COVID, if it turns out... No, that let's not go down that road, Richard. If I start saying COVID only kills racists, that's not going to play well, is it? People are going to come
back.
Is that
a quote? Because I think someone will be able to cut that clip. And that's a soundbite.
I've got Tim Brooke Taylor right behind me here, and as I say that, which is now made me very sad, he was a wonderful man. Good. But, yeah, I was watching as well. I have an emergency question that I know you get asked quite a lot, but usually people don't get. I have emergency questions that are good questions, and I have an emergency question that I can't ask you because you get asked it all the time. So I'm going to try and change it. Has a ghost ever seen you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Loads of them all the time.
Probably. You believe in ghosts, right?
I do.
You know they're not real.
What?
That's just those guys in the thing. They're just actors. They're the guys from Horror Histories.
No, they're dead.
Every single one of them's alive. They're dead. They're just dressed up in olden times clothes.
So why, after we finish filming, do I never see them at the pub? When I invite everyone to the pub, I've never seen them?
That's true. Maybe you're right. So you think there are ghosts?
I do.
But you've not seen a ghost?
No, I've not seen one, personally.
What makes you think there are ghosts if you've not seen a ghost?
Just, you know, spooky stuff. Yeah. I was quite scared of dolls when I was younger.
Yeah.
But in order to... So there was... I slept in the spare room at my... Well, there was a small room at my nan's when I wasn't at my mum's. And I didn't like to stay in that room because it had some dolls in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
How dare you? I'm Ali. He's a 128-year-old ventriloquist dummy there.
There's absolutely no way I'd be stay in a room with that doll. Soz.
He definitely does come to life. So I think I don't think it's a ghost. I think it's just a possessed doll. That's a different thing than a ghost. I don't think he was ever alive.
Oh, that's fine then.
He's just he's a possessed doll that comes alive and murders people in their sleep.
Oh, that's cool.
But I don't think that's the same as a ghost.
No one had asked me about that. But I used to say that I was scared of the ghost in that room because I didn't want to say I was scared of the doll.
Right. That stuff is scary. Now it's got back to winter again. When I walk my dog at night time, it's real when you go out and properly into the dark in the countryside, because I just walk my dog out into fields. It's properly scary. And the other day I had a flashlight and it kind of caught this woman walking the dog. And I didn't want to kind of point at her because that would be rude, but I acknowledged she was there. I walked around a bit further. Then I turned the torch back to look just to see which way she was going. And she disappeared. Now,
maybe she
probably
was never there.
Probably she just turned around and went back the other way.
No,
But then when you're out and about, it's really freaking. Then I heard a horse in a field running around and I shone the light on the field and there was no horse in the field. And then I was a bit scared.
Oh.
But it's all just, it's your mind playing tricks, isn't it?
Had you taken mushrooms?
I was on LSD.
But it's nothing to do with that.
It's nothing to do with that. I take that all the time and I don't see ghosts. I only see skeleton face some of the time.
I have to grab a charger, which is really boring, but give me 1 second.
I'll get the
talk dog amongst, going. Yeah, talk amongst
I'll
yourself.
Just talk to myself. Go and grab a charger. How's it going? It's going pretty well, thank you. Yes, how are you doing? Do tune in to see Ali and Herring's Twitch a Thun. This week it's on Friday, but usually it's on Thursday at 7:30 PM. So Twitch a Thun, it's lots of fun. I was going to ask Kyle if he wanted to do a bit in a sketch, but I'm not sure he likes you that much, so I wouldn't ask him. I think you were rude to him without cheat, cheat, cheat. And he wouldn't be in the sketch. He seems very busy, to be fair. I don't think he would be in one of my super sketches. Anyway. Anyway, she's coming back. All right, there's the client. Oh, here he is.
Ooh.
So we filled in.
What did I miss?
We covered. Oh, a lot. You missed a lot. You missed a lot. Oh, I was just I do another show. I do a puppet show on. Have you broken your headphones? You can't hear me now, can you?
There we go.
Oh, there we go. I do a puppet show on usually on Thursdays, but it's Friday this week with all my ventriloquist dummies. So we were I was just doing an advert for that.
How many have you got?
I've just got loads of stuff. I've got two like that. He's got his wife. I've got a carrot that looks like a penis. Where's he? Oh, he's gone. Where has he gone? This is Law Fox, who's based on Lawrence Fox.
Right.
He's an actual fox, though. But he believes that the world's prejudice against white posh men.
How does he feel about Sainsbury's?
He's
never stopping there again.
I'm sure he'll be in charge. This is Prince Andrew. Hello, it's me, Prince Andrew, the Duke of York. How are you doing? Someone made that for me and sent that to me in the post. That's all right. That one's not scary. That's new. Here it is. Look, there's a carrot that looks like a penis. That's Cocky Carrot. Look, if you want a part in my puppet show, I can put you in, Kyle. I've got a part for you. I'll discuss it with you later.
Yes, please. We'll check availability after this.
We'll check availability at the end. It's a big. This could be your big break. This being in that puppet show could be your big break.
Shotgun the carrot.
You actually. Well, let's talk about racism. You were accused of. Blackface. You were in a lot of trouble for being accused of.
And I didn't apologize. I've never apologized. what an animal. I've not once apologized for that. And I'm not going to. So, don't care. No.
That's pretty good to be. That's a pretty big achievement.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us how that came about?
So, I did an advert for BBC iPlayer. So, it was me and Natasha Dimitri playing husband and wife. And we were playing characters that were talking about the shows that we were in. So she was talking about what we do in the shadows, and I was talking about ghosts. And there were some prosthetics done to make us look as old as possible. Mm. And so we did that, and that was a fun experience. And we had the full cast going on, and then we shot it on the day, and it was all very big. And there were a lot of Americans there for some reason, and far too many people. There and we had a nice time, and then when the advert came out, it was on billboards and stuff, so I was really excited about it until I saw this one comment, which was a response to the video saying, I can't believe that blackface has been allowed in 2020, BBC, what is this? And I was like, I thought there was a joke that I didn't get,
right?
I didn't for one second consider that someone was actually angry about a black person having their face on the thing and someone thinking that it was a white person doing that. And I just couldn't understand that comment. And then I saw some more, and then I saw like people at and BBC saying like, this is vile. Really? In 2020? And I was like, oh shit. And then I was conflicted.
Yeah.
Because these people obviously clearly thought that this was a real incident of blackface. And I was like, well, if it was, I'm glad that they called it out. But it's not, and it's me. But I don't want to say anything. And then I just waited until, like, I think there were some fans of Ghost that replied to the tweet saying, like, no, this isn't blackface, this is Kyle. He's an actor in a show called Ghost. And they're like, no, still unacceptable. And then there were some people that thought it was a black person doing blackface.
Right.
And I was like...
Well, that's so the people are trying to cover themselves by going, no, I knew all along it was a black guy.
Yeah. But then some people were like, well, that's not his shade. And I was like, well, do you know what? Let's just cancel Sir Trevor McDonald. I'll be done with it. Because quite frankly, I'm sick of this. Cancel the news at 10. I was just... I was baffled, man. And I, like, some people were... A million percent sure it was David Williams. They're like, there's nobody else in the world that this could be apart from David Williams. And I can't believe that he's still doing blackface in 2020.
I mean, it's great to be so anti-racist that you become like the most racist person.
Yeah.
That's you're so good at being unracist. You've gone all the way around and become the most racist person.
That's the best. So it's quite impressive to be.
But it is indicative of, you know, but this is what the world has become, is people, it's the same as my International Men's Day thing, it's people not deciding before they've checked.
Yeah.
All you need to do is Google it, go, who is the actor in this thing?
Yeah.
Let's just check, you know, let's have a look.
Yeah.
And it's very simple to do it. And yet people are getting offended and outraged before, a lot of times before they've seen something, before they, you know, they just, they've got upset by the idea of what they imagine a thing is going to be in their own head. So they're actually offended by themselves.
Yeah.
Which I've experienced in my comedy. You know, like I did a show called Christ on a Bike, which is about Jesus. And a lot of people imagined what that was going to be and were furious. And, you know, and the actual show was largely, you know, supportive of Jesus.
Yeah.
But you know, to get angry about something in your head. And that just seems to be happening increasingly. And this sort of knee-jerk reaction to stuff, and then doubling down. That's what I find really interesting about that is the doubling down. They're wrong, and they can't go, "Oh my god, sorry, fuck,
yeah,
that's really embarrassing. Let me apologize." They have to go, "No, he's still doing it."
But I don't want him on my television. And you know what? Tash got nothing for doing whiteface. Absolutely not a peep.
That's the racism. I think you should have, but you could have been done for old face. Now you shouldn't. Young people shouldn't. I'm an old person, and I don't think young people should. You look at me. Look at this grey hair. You young people shouldn't be going around taking my jobs. I could have been that old person. I could. And I said, but look, it's old face. I'm not doing old face like the other guy. You get into all sorts of trouble. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Staffelets Flats, because Natasha's in that, of course, which, I did say to you, I watched it a little bit in the past, and I sort of didn't 100% get into it, but I liked it.
Mm.
And then, you know, other stuff comes along, and then I watched some episodes today, and it's so good that I have to. I sort of stopped because I thought, right, I've got to watch this all with my wife, because we're looking for it. Shit's Creek's finished. Awesome. We need to start another comedy thing again. And that seems like a lot. It's a very good cast, and the characters actually just completely hit the ground running as well in that first episode. You kind of get, maybe not your characters, not so much in the first episode, but the other, you know, you really get who everyone is.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite tightly scripted, I'm guessing, because it all look like you could improvise, but I have a feeling it's a scripted one, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's just been written as if it's improvised, right, which is great, and a testament to Jamie's writing. But I love it so much, and I remember seeing The Blap in like 2001, whenever it was that he made that. How long it's been in development, and I think it was 2013, and when I watched it then, I loved it, and I showed it to all my friends who were like, "Don't get it," but I was just like, I loved it. And then when it came around and it was the series was casting, I would have cried if I didn't get that part. I honestly would have cried, because when I read it, I was like, I need it. It has to be me. Even if I don't get this part, I'm going to turn up. So luckily I did, and I play a black guy in that as well. But I love it. It's so much fun, and it is literally just a bunch of absolute clowns chatting shit all day. And then sometimes we film it. Yeah.
And what's your character? How would you describe your character in the show?
My character Dean is probably the most normal one in the office. He is quite a grumpy guy who doesn't enjoy his job or the people that he works with. But he just cracks on because he knows that this is the easiest it's going to be. He's not going to get to cruise through a job like this again. So he just deals with it. And he is, in a way, the voice of the audience that remarks on how stupid or ridiculous the things are that are being said by the people around it.
Sure.
And I get to have a right laugh.
Yeah, and look, this puts you, you know, that's a multi-BAFTA award-winning show.
Mm.
You're also in Man Like Mabeen as well,
yeah.
Which is another very successful show.
That's multi-RTS winning show.
Yeah. So, you know, you're at the heart of all these kind of massive shows, basically.
When will I get my award, Richard?
When will you get your award? Well, are you, because I know Lolly's gone off to America and is in Shrill, which is absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Is your ambition? I mean, because I think like an actor's ambition is often different than a comedian's one. I know you write as well, but is your ambition to go to America or
not really?
No,
I'm not bothered about America.
Right.
I'd like to live in a city where I can get whatever food I want at 4 a.m. That's
okay.
That's the bit that interests me about like being in New York.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I'm not really bothered.
You seem to have this kind of quite laid back attitude. Well, Arthur Matthews was on last week, who wrote Father Ted, and he seems like an unambitious man who's done incredibly well.
Right.
Almost by not having ambition, it's just let everything wash over him and it's all come to him.
Right.
Do you feel like that, or do you feel you are ambitious?
I am ambitious. I do I do think about the things I want, and I work, like, especially with my writing and stuff. I'm really like, especially this year, I've been working hard at the writing stuff. But also, I think that I want. I can't remember who it was in Ghosts, but someone referred to Ben Wilbon as wanting the least stressful option.
Right.
He will always choose the least stressful option.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is why me and Ben get on so well, is because I'm the very same.
Right.
I want minimal stress.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. But I see that's probably the same as Arthur in a way. I think it's... Because I know if do you write on your own or do you write with
I've written one thing with someone else, Ollie Cambridge,
right?
But yeah, mostly on my own.
Because I think that's, again, it's writing with someone else is good in a lot of ways, but there's a lot, I've heard him talking about how you know if you write on your own you get to do what you want, and you know there's the friction isn't there, which can sometimes be good, but then it's an easier route, I think. I sort of prefer writing on my own now, having written with people in the past, although I find it hard to get on with it.
Right,
sometimes when you've got someone else, that kind of forces you, but usually I was the person forcing the people to work. So, right. But yeah, that's interesting. And what sort of stuff? Are you writing sitcoms or are you writing... Yeah.
Yeah, I can't possibly write drama.
But you could be a dramatic, you know, you could be a dramatic, you're in comedy, but you could do dramatic acting.
I'd like to do dramatic acting. Yeah. And I thought that was what my career was going to be. I never even considered doing comedy until I did Whitechapel. And then they were like, we're not putting him on that again. We're not getting him on screen crying again. Forget that. I'd love to do a drama. Put me in a drama.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing, you know, there is something... There's something funny about you, though. I mean, that's the thing. There is you look very. This is like a Limmy again. You look like a normal guy, but there's something just in there that's just like your face is winking at the idea of you being a normal guy.
Yeah,
and there's just something slightly comical in there. But it's only slightly. So you can play the kind of Diet Coke drinking guy.
Yeah.
Ghost, and that be a realistically like funny but you're equally. You're a sexy guy, but it's funny you being the sexy guy. It's both. You know, it's funny. That's a really great place to occupy because it's, you know, I couldn't pin you down either.
Mm.
I wouldn't
Maybe
go.
That's no, funny. Just,
yeah, I think it is.
I'll
you're sexy.
That.
I'm not hitting on you. You're a sexy guy, but you're a funny guy.
Thanks.
Yeah, but you look funny.
That quote is going on an Edinburgh flyer.
But you've been doing Edinburgh as well, haven't you? You've been doing Edinburgh not this year, but
no,
when was the last time you went up? Was it 2015 the last time you were up there?
No, that's when I started.
Oh, was it? Okay.
2015 was my first year. I was in a show called Battle Axe, which is an improvisational comedy game show that had been up there for years, and I joined in 2015.
Right, that might be what it is.
So I joined when it was already popular, and I didn't have to do any of the work. Whereas the rest of the guys had to like do the graft and be out flyering every year until it got to like 2015, where people just turn up.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I did that every year until 2019.
Right.
But then 2018, I took my own show with my comedy writing partner, Brendan Murphy, and we did a show called The Crooners, which was like two Rat Pack-esque kind of lounge singers,
okay,
just doing songs and monologues and telling stories. And we did a few improvised songs as well. And it was absolutely ridiculous. But was it well attended? No.
Well, I think it would be now. I don't know. It's sort of weird, isn't it? Because I think you're still at that stage where people will know you if they see you, but if your name's on a poster, they might not know your name on the poster.
Yeah.
I think that's fair enough. But if your face is on the poster, they'll know who you are. I think Ghost is going to, I think it's really broken through this series. I think is really broken through. It feels like a mainstream hit. And you've already got the third series commissioned as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We start in February.
Right. Cool.
I think.
Cause you were filming this right. You were filming this right up to COVID as well. You basically just got.
Yeah. Yeah. Finished, 5 days before lockdown.
Right. Yeah.
We're very lucky.
Cause I was filming the bit in Taskmaster that everyone's gone nuts about. Is me and Daisy May Cooper eating
the watermelon,
feeding him watermelon.
Yes, I watched that.
We filmed that like 4 days before lockdown.
Right.
And Daisy had a really bad cold.
Oh,
really
shit.
Bad mystery cold. And I was sort of, and part of the reason I think I'm slightly going.
Yeah, you weren't as into it. She was really
she was so into it. She wasn't actually even feeding me. But I was trying, and I hate watermelon as well.
Right.
But I ate more than it looked like I ate, but she. She took the lion's share of that watermelon.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I'm not taking it away from her. But it's just so crazy to think, even though, because I think I heard you talking about, you know, even in 4 or 5 days before, we were all like, oh, do we have to touch elbows and that?
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's fuck, this is a real thing.
I remember when we were on set, the only person that seemed to be stressed about it was Colin Holt. He was like, he was checking his phone to see what's going on. And he was like, it's in Brighton. Corona's in Brighton. And everyone's like not really caring. And then them realizing the sort of magnitude of the situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, we hadn't really understood what it was or why it would affect us.
No, I think even right up to, I mean, I actually stopped gigging a little bit before, but only a little bit before, but I cancelled a show that I didn't need to cancel, but I felt I should cancel. But even right up to that moment, I was thinking, but you know, you can't just stop everything. And you know, and they were sort of saying, because they were saying herd immunity at that time, you know, as well. So it was like, we're meant to be going out and we just got to get it and get better.
Yeah.
So like, it was amazing how quickly that will change. And did you get through? You obviously did a few bits and pieces through lockdown. You've been doing some writing. Yeah. I know you did there was a video of Stafflet's.
Yeah, we did a lockdown version of Staff, which was a lot of fun. It was like having a proper day out. So we got to do that, which was very silly as usual. And I did another thing called Comedians in Quarantine. So I wrote that and. That was for Comedy Central, which was absolutely fine. And then I wrote a pilot and I finished a script that I'd been working on for like 4 years, which I'm pitching at the moment. So, I had a grand old time. I also moved out. I also had a breakup. Did it all. I did it all.
Yeah.
I did some ADR for Ghost, which was fun because I got to get out of the house and see Oxford Circus in the middle of lockdown, which is a site that I'd probably never get to see again.
I was there this weekend doing a podcast in town and there was no audience. And Oxford Circus was Sunday night at 5 o'clock and Oxford Circus was as busy as I've ever
seen. Really?
Yeah, so I don't think apparently someone said it, and there are no shops are open really apart from supermarkets. So I think someone said it when the Christmas lights are on, but they can't have people come to go and look at the Christmas lights.
No, everyone's trying to find out where you're doing that podcast. Let's see where the secret location is.
I couldn't bloody find it, so I'm not surprised if anyone managed to get in there. It was a very weird thing. But, you know, I was there as well, but I was driving through.
Right.
In a purse behind a Perspex screen with a mask on.
Right.
We were very careful. Mm. Look, it's been really lovely chatting with you. I'm a huge fan, and I think you're gonna, I think you're gonna go on to bigger and better things. I look forward to seeing the stuff that you're writing. If cheap, if we can get that going, though, would you bin all the other stuff?
How much did I say?
I think if I'll give you $100,000, if you have to bin everything else,
fine. Yeah, I'll do it. Yep.
Bin everything else, and I've got to get Edmonds on board as well.
I did say, I remember in one of the writing sessions with Ali Griggs, I did say that if it happened again, I have to demand him. And he's looked in my eyes and said rather coldly that he'd kill me
Jobs that don't work out, they sort of inform you for the other stuff. And I think that's, almost like, I think it's nice in a way, given how, because you've had so much success in the last 2 or 3 years. If you hadn't had a little clanker in the middle, just to bring you a bit down to earth again, you could have turned into
just
a right.
Don't get too big for your boots.
Yeah, it's just like
you could be back in Bristol with Noel anytime.
Take you back at any moment. Look, man, good luck with everything.
Thank you.
It's been lovely to talk to you.
And
you. We are back next week with Rod Gilbert. That's going to be lots of fun. So do tune in for that. For the moment, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Kyle Smith Bino. Got it right.
But yeah, smashed it.
See ya.
See ya.
What a prick I am. All right, goodbye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Rich Terring, and my guest, Kyle Smith Bino. Thank you to Pest, who provide the theme music for this particular part of the show that you are now listening to, and is in the opening as well. I don't know why I'm just specifying this second part of the show. Thank you very much to Chris Evans, not that one, to whom I am indebted for all of his hard work keeping this going through the various lockdowns. 2020's been great, hasn't it? I hope you've all had a good time. Thank you very much to everyone at Acast and British Comedy Guide and Ian Tunes and all that lovely ninnies. Ian YouTube as well. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Become a monthly badger. GoFasterStripe.com/badges. Or link your Amazon Prime and Amazon Gaming accounts and give us your free subscription every month. And we get actual money from Ian Amazon, who has too much money. Please take his money, give it to us, and we will make new stuff with it. Good.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. RichardHerring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And GoFasterStripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping
us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who's said hello so far. Do come say hello after the show if you enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.